listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly doing the production, producing the program behind the scenes and in front of the scenes sometimes. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening, everyone. Always a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to welcome all those listening to the live program, as always, and those listening to the archives, too. Don't want to leave you out. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, our flagship school, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science and other related areas like coaching, counseling, healing, etc., and also Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and as well as degrees at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe in that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And these principles of belief can be read in their entirety at metaphysicalhumanism.org. Now tonight, I want to take just a few minutes and go over our sacred obligations. I don't always read these. They're on the broadcast page there if you're tuned in live. Even if you're not, they're still on that page. And you just scroll down, you'll see the sacred obligations. But, you know, we define a sacred obligation as a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. That's kind of what it is. These spiritual sacred obligations are simply behaviors that are based on high ethics and integrity, and they become self-evident once they're known. And so I want to go through them one at a time. There's a lot of great obligations, sacred obligations, but these 5 are the primary, and they really serve to raise awareness, to grow in enlightenment, and so forth. The first one is do no harm, do right. You know, that's obviously the first one of our principles of belief, too. It's the foundation, cornerstone of everything that we teach and believe. Do no harm, do right. You know, if the world would just practice that one single thing, this world would be transformed. Do no harm, do right. And so, you know, it's not enough to just do no harm. I mean, there's a lot of associations and fields that practice do no harm. Doctors, Wiccans, others, many others, do no harm. But that's not enough. Sometimes we need to go beyond that, and we need to do the right thing. And, you know, it could be anything. It can literally be anything in your life. So look for ways to do right. And that's related to pay it forward, which we'll get to in just a moment. The second one is reclaim your power. The panacea to about everything that ails just to reclaim your power, take your power back. That's the one thing that will fix about everything. And we've all been through it. You know, I'm sure you can remember a time in your life when everything was right and you had an epiphany. You just changed. It was almost effortless. You just changed. You know, for whatever reason, you changed and life changed. And that's because you took your power back. And so if you are in a dysfunctional relationship, if you're in an addiction, whatever it is, the way to get past that is to take your power back. If you find that people are walking on you, encroaching on your boundaries, violating your boundaries, take your power back. Nothing happens until we take our power back. People can go to therapy for years and sometimes longer, but nothing happens until we take our power back. We don't change. Our lives don't change until we take our power back. And that simply means that we change our energy signature, our self-concept, what we think and believe about ourselves. That's where it's at. That's what spiritual counseling and life coaching is all about. Helping the person to take their power back. And that leads us into the third one, which is attune your life leadership paradigm. In our curriculum, in our schools, we teach life leadership coaching, which is a blend of coaching, counseling, and transpersonal counseling. And the objective of life leadership coaching is to help the person, the client, bring order and balance to their life leadership paradigm. And the whole objective after that is to basically take their power back. So the objective is to take your power back by balancing or attuning your life leadership paradigm. Well, the life leadership paradigm is simply three skills which synergistically combine to create a fourth one. The three skills are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. And the objective with this attuning your life leadership paradigm means to bring those into balance. And the first place to start is with self-acceptance. You know, you understand that you're perfect just the way you are, that you're entitled to all the good things in life, no more, no less than anyone else, that you are worthy, that you have self-esteem, which is internal validation and expectations. Dr. Hunter's going to comment on the opposite of that, which is them-esteem in a few minutes. But you basically learn self-acceptance. You accept yourself just the way you are, warts and all. And if you want to improve on things, fine. But it doesn't bog you down. It doesn't demean you. You don't find yourself not worthy. You know, you might, a lot of people say, I'm not smart enough, I'm not educated enough, whatever. Those are all just excuses. You know, we are where we're at. And the objective is to grow every day. And so we have to understand that we are worthy of everything that's good, regardless of what anybody in our past has told us. So that's the place to start, is with self-acceptance. Then you move to respect for free will, which is the third one. That means not giving unsolicited advice. That means not trying to control things or change people. You can't. There's only one person you can control and change, and that's you. So you don't give unsolicited advice. You don't try to change people. You don't try to control people. Now, once you bring order and balance to those two, that is self-acceptance and respect for free will, a cool thing happens. Self-responsibility kind of falls into place. You're not taking undue responsibility for another adult by telling them what to do, but you are taking responsibility for yourself by having healthy feelings about yourself, a healthy concept about yourself. And once all those three are in balance, it creates self-completeness, the ability to stand on your own two feet, to know who you are and why you are who you are, to basically be you, and knowing that nobody is worthy of your own best behavior than you. So you are who you are, and you don't allow other people to push your buttons or pull your strings. You just are you, because you're solid. You're standing on your own two feet. So that's how you attune your life leadership paradigm. And that brings us to the fourth one, which is pay it forward. This is the primary work that metaphysical humanists do. You know, there's different religions have their own works. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they knock on doors trying to save your soul. And there are others, too, that do that, other religions. Our work is to pay it forward. And so we look for opportunities every day to help out a neighbor who needs something. You know, I have students in other countries who are, well, in any country really, but they'll help out. They'll take extra lunches, they'll send extra lunches to school with their kids in areas that will allow that. In countries, they'll buy blankets or clothes for people who need it. You know, it's not like you're buying a truckload of blankets. It's just, you know, you might buy one or two and help somebody who really needs it. But you look for ways to pay it forward. And paying it forward is simply doing a kind deed, not expecting any return of payment. You know, you do it because you just do. It's the human thing to do, the compassionate thing to do. And at the same time, you know, you encourage them to pay it forward. A lot of people have different ways of doing it. They'll pay the toll bridge fee, you know, for the car behind them, or they'll buy a, you know, pay for somebody's coffee behind them in line, or whatever. There's all kinds of ways you can pay it forward. Some are very meaningful, and some are just nice. You know, it's like doing a nice for somebody. So look for ways to pay it forward in any way you can. And the fifth one is delivering your greatness. We all have greatness to deliver. And we can do that in even small ways, you know, giving somebody a smile, being encouraging. And as I've said so many times, giving somebody the good word, you know, an encouraging word, sharing with them in their victories, you know, being happy for them. There's so many ways of delivering greatness. There's so many people that have done that. You know, people who have, I mean, some of the bigger story, you know, people who've discovered cures to illnesses. That's a way of delivering greatness. But that's not the only way. You know, taking care of your responsibilities, your family, your kids is a way to deliver greatness. Another way to deliver greatness is to not overextend yourself or put yourself into other people's business. You know, not trying to control them. That's a way of delivering greatness. You let them walk their path. You let them, you know, fall when they need to and get scraped knees and pick themselves up and move on. We all have to do that. But there's so many ways to deliver greatness, and you deliver greatness when you pay it forward, when you balance out your life leadership paragon, when you claim your reclaim your power, when you take your power back, and when you're doing no harm and doing right. Those are all ways of delivering greatness. So be mindful of that. Every day, all of these sacred obligations, these are things that we need to do because we're human beings. And we seek higher authority, you know, ourselves. There's no higher authority than each one of us. And we seek to show that human being human is not just about tribal warfare. It's not just about homeless and the hungry and killing people and terrorists. It's not what it means to be human. That's all subhuman. That's all animalistic crap. You know, being human means to be compassionate and being encouraging and not taking ourselves too seriously, but helping others in any way that we can. That's all I got to say on that for tonight. Dr. Hunter, any comments?
No, it's good stuff. It's all good stuff.
All right. Well, let's talk about self-esteem versus them esteem.
Well, you know, it's been on my mind recently, and because of how all the different ways that them esteem actually kind of, it's kind of tricky. It kind of eases its way into people's lives, and they don't even realize just to what degree them esteem is playing out. But just the clarity of self-esteem is how you feel about yourself, and that's not to be confused with narcissism or, you know, vanity or over ego or any of those things. Self-esteem is just that quiet confidence in, you know, who you are. Them esteem simply, and I think it's brilliant, and I know it was Tracy and Dr. Kelly who came up with this, and it really is a piece of brilliance.
It was Tracy that mentioned it. I have to give her credit.
Well, Tracy, it was a genius thing to coin.
See?
That if I only feel good about myself when I meet your approval or I've done something you approve of, that's them esteem. if I am thinking of you before myself, again, carefully here, then that's them esteem. Them esteem simply is when you can't feel good about who you are unless you're pleasing other people. And you've lost yourself and you esteem others more. And interesting, I had a conversation with an old friend the other day. We hadn't talked for months. Everybody's busy. And, you know, she's going through a lot of changes. And there's a very distinct difference between her and her husband. He is very, very strong character and tends to say, you should do this and you should do that, you know, kind of steps the boundary. Well, her way of taking that on is that she's not good enough or she's been inadequate and she's always strategizing how to, you know, measure up in some way. And so we had to have quite a discussion about how these tiny little things. So she was always thinking that one of the people in the relationship is right and the other one is wrong, which is interesting. That's what people tend to do. One is right and one is wrong. But both people can be wrong and both people can be right. And she hadn't quite thought of it that way. And so I just said, well, I think your partner tends to do this a lot, that, and yet you tend to do this a lot. Yeah. I said, well, why don't you just forget all about that stuff and just be who you are and never mind. Like, be okay. It's when he says you should do it this way, say, well, thanks, I'm doing it my way. And just be okay with it. The problem with folks who have a them esteem problem is they can't say, I'll do it my way, thanks, and just let it rest.
Yeah.
They stew with it. You know, it's a stew with, well, if I say I'll do it my way, now, are they going to like me? Are they going to be mad? Is that okay? And sometimes there's even the other way of being a bravado. There, I sure told him. You know, and it's really interesting. All these little emotional thoughts that start weaving around your brain, instead of just being okay with saying, I'll do it my way, thanks. Though I happened to mention to her that I knew a fellow a couple of years ago. I was having a talk with him, and he was trying to tell me what I should do with my snowblower. I said, well, thank you very much. I tell you what, you can do it for me. I said, no. When people tell me how I should do things, I just think that they should do it because they obviously do it better. See, and that's the way I deal with that, because I don't care. And I don't care because I know who I am. So that was my way of putting up a boundary, and I think in a good way. Of course, he was offended. But in those cases, people are going to be offended no matter what you do. See, and then I'm the only one left stewing with this about, well, you know, if I say this or I say that, and I just, you know, there is a place for strategizing in the world, and but it usually belongs in a boardroom, a business meeting, you know, the workplace, and yet there's some strategizing when it comes to family members and other people. It's if somebody's going through a hard time, you're going to strategize your way around it. And if they're moody, I'd say, okay, now's not a good time to talk. But that's not them esteem. That's just being sensitive to other people. That's just being interactive and acknowledging one another. So I really want to get across that a lot of people, when they make that shift from them esteem to self-esteem, they think it's egotistical. They think it's too selfish. They think, and that's all the thinking part of it, right? Because they haven't got into the feeling part of, you know, self-comfort. But there's all this other fear that goes with it, usually because they read too many self-help books. And I tell you that all straight out. Because a lot of that stuff is just garbage. And it doesn't necessarily play into real life and how, you know, we have these really strange psychodynamics that go on in our brains, you know. So there's going to be a worry at first. There's going to be those concerns at first. you got to do it a few times and know that how you feel is equally important as how anybody else feels. And it's okay that you disagree with something. And I mean that it really is okay. Well, I disagree, but will you still like me? Well, there's some really fundamental principles in life that if you disagree and they are that important, you ought not to be friends anyway. Yep. You know, because you can be friendly, but I don't think there's Sunday dinner material. That's what I'm saying. Now, I want to make it clear. I have friends who are all different kinds of religions and philosophies and everything, but the one thing they all have in common is that they're really good people and they're very respectful, and we can agree to disagree. Nobody judges. Nobody cares, because our common denominator is that we all know who we are and we're comfortable with that and we just get along. And we can even have discussions about the things we disagree on without feeling offended. And that is where I think them esteem really plays into conversations with people, in especially touchy kinds of conversations where you have to be right or wrong. Somebody's got to be right or wrong, and then they won't like me, but then I don't care if they don't like me. And again, that whole kind of, it's like a merry-go-round that's playing a tune in your brain. So it's when you get to self-esteem, I just know who I am. I got to tell you this wonderful story. You know, this friend of mine, Susan, we knew each other back in high school and saw each other over the years. But since I've moved out here with my grandkids nearby, Susan and I have become really good friends again. And this is the most self-esteemed woman I've ever met. And of course, she just makes me laugh. Somebody called her husband up one day and says, do you want to tell Susan to go and do that, blah, blah, blah? And he goes, no, nobody tells Susan what to do. Are you kidding? You think I want my head chewed off? And he says, if you want something from Susan, I suggest you ask her yourself and ask. Don't tell Susan. If you tell Susan, she won't do it. You see? I mean, she, you know, right of refusal, but it's really refreshing. So that's my point to everybody. It is so refreshing to be around people who are comfortable with who they are.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that you will find is feeling safe.
Yes.
And that I really want to convey that point. Is when you're with people who are not playing a mind game, not playing an emotional game, not worried about what you think or what you're going to say, people feel safe. So for students particularly at IMHS and TFU, especially you're working into life coaching, spiritual counseling, any kind of, you know, what we call the relationship business, where you're supporting and helping other people, number one, don't judge. Know that everybody is to some degree working through some them esteem issues. But as long as you know who you are and you just get comfortable with who you are, your clients, your people will feel safe with you. And that is again, when we don't feel safe, people lose it. And that causes all kinds of other problems. But and we have lots of reason to not feel safe in the world. We do. There's lots of reasons to not feel safe. And I'm not talking politics here. I'm just talking daily life where you're walking down the street, going for groceries, you know, and lots of things where you don't feel safe. You don't feel safe sometimes in your own home. But you got to feel safe with the people in your life. Feel safe, but feel safe with yourself. I know who I am. I do my best to respond as well as I can. Sometimes I'm not on my game. I have to be able to own that and say, you know what, I'm really sorry for that. I'm sorry I did that. That was out of line. Step too far. I didn't have a filter on my brain. And be okay with that too. You know, it's be okay with who we are in all of our human dynamics and discovery. We're always in a self-discovery. I don't know who, you know, I mean, I know who I am, but I've changed in the past year. I've changed in 5 years. I've changed in 10 years. I'm always getting to know myself in a new way. But the core of me stays the same. See, the core of me, who I am, right at my center, doesn't waver. So nobody can have my spirit, is what I'm trying to get across. So as long as you are in that place, you'll feel safe with yourself, no matter how bonkers life can get, and others will feel safe with you too. So that was my little thing I wanted to share with everybody tonight, my little observations these past few days.
And that's kind of what knowing who you are and why you are who you are is all about. You feel safe in your own skin. You don't need anybody else to make you safe or to make you complete. You're complete within yourself. And I like to tie the Themistine concept. Well, I want to first mention a comment that Dr. Tabby said in the chat room, because it encompasses several different things we've talked about, including paying it forward. And before I get into that, I want to just send out a congratulations to Dr. Colleen, who graduated today with her doctoral degree from TFU, Thomas Francis University.
Yay.
She did a superb job. And yes. I also want to mention, if you'd like a card pulled from our oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room and we'll make a note of that. So back to this comment that Dr. Tabby said that about started out as paying it forward. And if I can get the chat to stop looking back up, I'll read it. I don't know if this is paying it forward because every week or two I see this homeless veteran and his dog. I always go grab him a drink and food for both of them. 1 second. I found out his name is Frank, and I have so much love for him, even though I know very little of him. But I wonder if it can be truly paying it forward when I feel like I'm getting something out of it, like the feeling of love and compassion. I guess my question is, if paying
yes.
it forward truly is paying it forward truly selfless? I know many religions look down upon not being truly selfless. Okay, so the short answer is absolutely. It's selfless, and it's that's the point. See, and I want to expand on this just a moment, and because you know she mentioned about religions looking down on not being selfless. Well, let's call it like it is. Religion is designed to make you feel bad about yourself. You're never quite good enough, and I'm talking especially the patriarchal religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, you know, and others, but they're designed to disempower people. You're a sinner. You're not worthy. Oh, if you do this or that, you might get into heaven, but if you don't, you're going to sure as hell burn in hell. I know that was redundant, but I work for the department, redundancy department. So anyway, the point is that yes, paying it forward is a selfless act, but it does bring pleasure because that's what we do. That's what a human being is supposed to do, and that's why it brings pleasure. We're not sinners. We're not worthless. You know, we're not disempowered. We are empowered if we want to be. And so I, you know, tip my hat to Dr. Tabby for doing that, and that's another way of paying it forward, of doing the right thing. Of helping, because, you know, if everybody was doing that, what a wonderful place or far better place this world would be. We wouldn't have the tribal warfare and the wars and the people out to get people and other people trying to one-up others. We wouldn't have any of that stuff because everybody's looking out for each other. We wouldn't have the homeless. We wouldn't have hunger. We would have a lot less disease because the resources that the trillions of dollars we spend on killing each other would be rerouted to helping each other. What an incredible, you know, folks, we have the ability to do this now. We can transform this whole world right now. We have the technology, we have the resources. It's just that people are making the wrong decisions. Why? Because they're trying to protect their corner of the sandbox. You know, there's been a lot said about one world government, how wrong that is, and that is absolutely wrong. A one world government is the way it should be. And I don't mean you know, the Illuminati. I don't mean a dictator. I mean this boundary thing. I mean, where were boundaries 5,000 years ago? What were geographical country boundaries? There weren't any, you know, 5,000 years ago or 10,000, whatever. The Earth is the Earth. It's our planet. It's our home. And we need to get along, and we need to work with each other, respect each other, and tolerate each other, allow each person to have whatever beliefs they want, but do no harm and do right. And we don't want to buy into that social conditioning that says that you should be one way or another. Do the right thing and feel good about it and gain pleasure from that. That's absolutely proper and is the way it should be. That's what this program is about. It is about empowering people. It is about telling people that you don't have to buy in to the religious crap you were indoctrinated with as a kid, that I was indoctrinated with as a kid. You don't have to buy in to that you're not worthy. You don't have to buy in to that you're not perfect. You don't have to buy in that mistakes are bad. You know, that's who we are. It's what we do. We have to learn. We have to grow, and that's how we do it. So we embrace those opportunities to learn and gain experience. That's good. These are all good things. It's okay to do that. So you have to give yourself permission to be a real live human being. I've been advocating that for years. Be a real live human being. Be observant. You know, be aware of people around you, their plight, their needs. And when you can help, do it. You know, if there's one thing that the Bible is right about, there's a scripture somewhere, and I'm proud to have forgotten where it's at. But it basically, and it's not necessarily original to the Bible, but the point, the concept is that if you see something that you should do, there's a need, a good thing that you should do, and you don't do it, that's not a good thing for you. And the Bible says it's a sin for you, but we don't do sin, so I'm not going to use that. It's a mistake that you don't need to make. So if you see an opportunity to do good, to do the right thing, to pay it forward, jump at it. Don't be shy. Don't be bashful. If somebody needs help, help them. And then some. Remember, that's one of our cards. And then some. Do a little more if you can. You know, and it doesn't cost a lot. It doesn't have to cost anything, really, depending on what it is. But if you can do it, then do it.
Well, if I may jump in and say, if there's one thing that we could all do here tonight is send extra energy to Colleen's son, who is having surgery tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So a little power surge of energy your way, Colleen, through you to your son. We're all here for you. And one more thing that we can all do is send our Zach power energy. This time next week, he will be in Chicago in the first stages of his stem cell transplant. We love you, Zach. We're sending you lots of energy. So those are things that we can do to, energy is just right from the heart and sending all that goodness. And, you know, the flip side of all of this is just try to out-nice each other. I love that. I often make that comment too.
But not with the idea of one-upping each other, right?
Oh, I tell Susan all the time, or my kids, oh, I'm just trying to out-nice you.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to have fun with it. So, you know, it's just sending out some good energy. It's always a good thing. So.
And, you know, I also want to mention that Jenny is in the chat room tonight. And she's
Jenny.
And, you know, 2 years ago when we were doing, when we had the center and we were doing the live video broadcast, and she came all the time. And it was great to have her, and she's been through some tough times. A lot of people have. So, you know, I'm glad to see her, very much so. And I'd like to let's jump on that bandwagon and send out some good positive energy to anybody who needs it in the world. And that's the same thing. You know, people say, hey, we'll pray for you. Well, this is, we're praying for you, but just not, you know, praying to God. We're sending good energy to you, all of you.
Well, Zach is the first one on our list, and third card from the left. There's an old joke that Zach would ask some time ago, third from the left, third from the right. So, and Michael just sent me a little chat on the side. He said, pick one third from the left for Zach. So that's what I did. I got one here, and it's empowerment, Zach. This one's for you. Number 9. You got to love the number, too. Hey, it's a power number. So, number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back. Boy, have we been talking about that tonight. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you're whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Share the best of yourself. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. And for you, Zach, this is your journey. And this is a step on your journey. And it's a positive step that you're taking. And we respect that it's your journey, but we're all here for you. And as you empower, you know, we can help empower you even more. So that's what I got to say about that. So we have Colleen next. So if Michael, you want to jump in here and help out a bit too. We have a number of people to go through. So maybe we'll just go back and forth. And Colleen is next. And if you want to grab a card there for Dr. Colleen.
I'd be happy to. All right. And Dr. Colleen, I have pulled number 44, attitude and disposition.
Good one.
Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? And a can-do attitude makes it happen.
I love that. That's good stuff. Okay, Michaela, you're next. I've got number 12. It's spirit, cosmos, divine energy. This is quite special here. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role that you and they play. So it's how we're all interconnected. So that's a special kind of little message there, I think. So good for you. You want to grab one for Jenny there, Michael?
Absolutely. All right, Jenny. Pulling from the middle of the deck. All right, and I pulled number 14, energy shift, new chapter.
Whoa, good one.
Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction, with the old and in with the new.
We have Teresa next, and I went ahead and pulled number 16 for you, Teresa, continuity of life. So this is your message for tonight. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter may begin. Interesting. Almost a mystery there. Okay, Fran is next. Michael?
All right, friend, this is a great card. It's number 11, awareness. And I think kind of one of the keys to a lot of the others. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Now, and Fran said 11's her number.
Oh, there you go. I have Jeff next here in our list, and this one's for you, Jeff, number 40. It's relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. And don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. So it doesn't always have to be an individual, Jeff. It could be something. So just something to ponder. What are we relating with? What's our relationship with? And maybe it's time to let go of something and while you're building other ones. So make sure that it's win-win. And we have Tabitha next. Michael?
All right, Tabitha. I have drawn number 6, boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, "Who owns me?"
I do. There we go. Okay.
You're wrong. Wendy. I do.
Wendy is next. Wendy, I just drew 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth to a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. You know, gains isn't always a negative thing. Keep in mind that we're all evolving and we're growing and we're, there is this evolution. And in order to, you know, fill your cup, sometimes you got to pour a little bit out. So it's to grow. So, you know, we all have to do that assessment once in a while. So, and Dr. Frank is next there for you, Michael.
All right, Dr. Frank. This is an interesting one. It's wild card number 3, blocks.
Ooh.
There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like a free falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required. Remain open.
That's a good card. It's a good card. And if you feel blocked right now, it's because you need more information. So do your research. Start looking. Be observant. Look in places you didn't look before. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside your belief system. So expand your belief system. Things that you maybe thought were wrong, quote unquote, that are not wrong. Just, you need to expand. That's my thought. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Or the energy's not lined up yet.
Yeah.
We think we're blocked. It's not happening. This is the interesting thing about us human beings, is we want things to happen right now. And when it's not, we think we're blocked. But maybe things are lining up. So this is a really interesting time to look at intuition. You know, what's your sense of things? What's your intuition of it? And sometimes it's really about being patient with ourselves more than it is others. So being patient in our own life for things to unfold as they should. That's all right. I have to say about it.
That's good. Good things. All right, who's next?
I think, unless, is there one I missed? Anybody there, Michael?
You know, I was just looking over the chat.
All right, well, if we've missed you, then put your name back in the chat room again. And while we're looking, let's pull a card for IMHS student who's not able to be with us tonight and would like a card pulled. Nicole in Connecticut. That's Dr. Right. Hunter, would you pull one for her?
Law of control is for you, Nicole. This is number 5, and it's in the life leadership paragon. You know, this, I like to ponder this every now and again myself. So differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you're entitled to control. Don't give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. You know, and that's one very often that we have to check in with. So I just got a little note that Taz, we're going to pick a card for Taz here. Michael, you go ahead. Pull a card for Taz.
Absolutely. All right, Taz, this is a great card. Positive consciousness.
Good one.
Absolutely. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Okay, so that looks like that was the last one. So tonight we have... Yeah, go ahead.
Just sure. Add something there.
Sure.
In the positive consciousness, in real life, there's always a time in a day where I want to poke somebody's eye out. And I'm just being really honest here.
You're supposed to say that off air.
No, but honestly, because we're human, and I shake my head, I roll my eyes, and I hurt myself sometimes. And I say, gee, that's just so wrong, you know. And then I just let it go and just send positive consciousness. Again, back to what we were talking about earlier, about knowing who we are. I don't wish ill will on other people, and I wouldn't intentionally harm other people. And that's the positive consciousness. But that doesn't mean we're not human, and we say, geez, I hope karma comes around real quick. So it's just being honest, you guys. It's just being honest. Mm-hmm. But you let that stuff go. Just let it go.
All right. So, again, we've talked about a lot of stuff tonight, and we do every week. And, you know, these cards that we pull, it's been a popular part of the service. And it gives everyone an opportunity to do some introspection. And you can do introspection for all of the cards that are pulled and for all of the thoughts that we might cover, even if they're not related to the cards. You know, that's what this is for. This whole program is for, is to get you to think, just, you know, disturb you to thought and action. You know, provoke you to thought, disturb you to action is what I usually say. And in a positive way, in a way that increases awareness. And that in this way, we're all part of the solution rather than the problem. And that's the point. So feel good about who you are. You know, you're as worthy as anyone else, no more, no less. You're entitled to the good things in life, no more, no less, as much as anyone else. And we need to embrace that and seek that. And continually raising our awareness every day, our awareness of ourself, our own lessons that we learn, the awareness of the plight of others, and helping out and paying it forward when we can. So,
and positive energy to Taz, who has a big exam tomorrow. It seems there's a lot of things going on for people right away. So everybody in the chat room and otherwise those who are listening, a lot of good vibes to you, Taz.
All right. Let's see. Okay. good. So we're wrapping up the program, and a lot of things to think about. And we've got so many of these in the archives. So, you know, if you have some time and you haven't listened to the previous ones, you know, go poking around. There's a brief description in there on the website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. And if you like this and you have those who you think might like it too, steer them, you know, this way. Help, tell them to join us in the chat room. It's a great interchange. So anyway, folks, again, appreciate everybody's time tonight, whether you're listening to the live program or the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael. And we'll, till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.